it's not too harsh. Thank you, Jesus, for healing and everything. Amen. Okay, right. Another thing about, what about the gift to Caesar, what belongs to Caesar, gift to God, what belongs to God. That was I like that so much. I've heard that being preached as tithing. How do you connect that with tithing? It's impossible. It's impossible. Here he comes, he says, should we pay taxes to Caesar? He says, okay, give me the coin. Whose face is on the coin? Caesar's. So, if the face is on the coin, give to Caesar what belongs to Caesar. And then Jesus said something very wonderful. He said, and give to God what belongs to God. Now, on whom is the face of God imprinted? You. So come to God. Give to God what belongs to God. Amen. Simple as that. Does it help you? Amen. Give to God what belongs to God. Come to God. Believe in Jesus. Amen. Right. New Testament giving. I want to just share some stuff in short with you here. The first thing that we must realize is that once we've been under the law, and we've been hammered by the law and abuse concerning finances, wherever you get hurt, you want to withdraw. That's a natural thing. Put that stove plate on red hot, you know, and see if you can put your hand on the plate. Naturally, you want to withdraw. Unless you're a masochist? Yeah. You keep your hand there. I'm hurting, but I'm continuing. And we find many people under the law hurting but continuing. Because under the law it's preached this way. Listen, the hardest time is just before your breakthrough. So if you stop to give now, next week or the next month is your breakthrough. So if you stop now, you've wasted it all and suffered for nothing. So you just keep the hand there boiling it. Suffering for Jesus. That's what happens, people. And people go, and then there comes a time where you say, no, this is rubbish. You take your hand out and you never want to come close to anything that is associated with a stove. Not even bread baked a week ago. Nothing. You want nothing to do with a stove because you've been hurt. And that is a problem that I see in the church. Now, people get hurt in the law. They feel guilty. Now they hear the grace and hear that they were actually abused and now use that as a power unto rebellion. Saying, I shall not give at all. Because now I've got reason to continue in my hurt. But if you continue in your hurt, you're not free. You're still living with the consequences of the law. You're still governed by the law. Because you're living in your hurt. Isn't it? What's the greatest, say a person got raped or molested. What's the greatest damage in that person's life? That one act or what they believe about that act for the rest of their life? You see, if you always walk with, I've been hurt, and you don't look at how you've been healed by Christ, you walk in rebellion. And rebellion does not equal grace. Rebellion against the law is not equal with grace. We are not rebelling against the law, people. I'm not preaching this because I'm angry with the law. I'm not preaching this because I'm angry with tithing message. I'm preaching this because I want to preach the truth about tithing. Amen. I want to preach the truth about sowing and reaping and the truth about who we are in Christ. Amen. That's the only reason why we preach this. For it is the truth. We want people to be liberated from manipulation, control, and the effect of hurt in their life. Amen. Amen. So now, let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 8. Is die klank aan daar, Hendry? Werk die klank? Okay, good. 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse 1. Moreover, brethren, we do you to wit of the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia. Now, Macedonia was very poor people, but the grace of God was bestowed upon them, how that in great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded unto the riches of their liberty. Now, that's a very difficult way of saying the following. That the grace of God came upon these poor churches. And when the grace of God came upon them, they abounded in their true liberty. So grace has set them free. They were poor people, but we saw their liberty. And what was their liberty? The next verse, that they gave even above their ability. So they were so set free that they could give above. They were set free from what they saw they had in the bank. The grace of God came so on them, because this is here. They say, brethren, they write to the church in Corinth. The church in Corinth made a promise, never fulfilled the promise. Now they said, brethren, we want to talk about this thing because we saw how grace came upon people. Grace is not treating, grace is not unmerited favor. That's a wrong definition in the Amplified Bible. Grace is not unmerited favor. Mercy is unmerited favor. Grace is God's influence in your heart so that Christ can manifest in your life. That's grace. The law was the influence. The law was the grace of death. Jesus is the grace of God. Let me explain it. When you come under the law, it will work a system in your heart that brings forth sin. When you come under grace, it will work the life of God in you that brings forth the life of Christ effortless in your life. That's grace. Grace, the Greek meaning for grace is, it's especially the divine influence upon the heart and it's acting out in the life, including gratitude. Let's go to Romans 5 there quickly. So that you can see I'm not lying. Romans 5, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace. Go over to the word grace there. Let's read it there. Graciousness as gratifying of manner or act, abstract or concrete, literal, figurative or spiritual, semicolon, especially, this is what it is, especially the divine influence upon the heart and its reflection in the life. Isn't that awesome? So what is grace? It is the way Christ influences your belief and its manifestation in the life. Okay. So when you talk about the grace in giving, we're talking about how God influences your belief, how you believe, because with the heart we believe unto righteousness. So your heart is not your spirit, it's your belief system. Okay? How you believe. So your belief, how does God, what Christ has done, influence my belief in giving? So it says in 2 Corinthians 8 here, that grace came onto the churches in Macedonia. God influenced their belief system so much that we could see their liberty even when they were poor. Yeah. They were liberated to be givers even when they were poor. Isn't that awesome? Thank God for that. I thank God that grace brings forth giving in my heart. And I want to say this to you. If we say, God, I settle for mercy. Thank you that you treat me better than what you deserve. You don't look at my works and all of that. But you don't settle for grace, which is God working in my belief, manifesting the very being of Christ in me. Man, you are not walking in victory. You are just numbing the feeling of death in your life. Because grace came by Jesus Christ. What is grace? To set me free from the flesh. What is the flesh? It's the manifestation of sin empowered by the law. I was giving under the law, but I've never been generous. It's always been difficult. And I always felt, yes, see, man, I'm giving away this money. I wonder what they're going to do with the money. I wonder if they treat it right. I wonder if they're this. I wonder if they're that. Is this good soil? Is this bad soil? Because I need a harvest. But now, Man, I don't care. I don't care. I find generosity in my heart. You know, and I want to just give some testimonies of what happened in my life. I mean, I find somebody that doesn't have a car. I give him. Oh, I give him a car. It's not a problem. I didn't even think. I went and made debt to go and buy another car to give him this car. I was debt free until yesterday. But then a friend of mine didn't have a car. So I felt in my heart, man, I want to give him a car. I've got the ability to go and buy a car. He cannot go and pick up his children. He's divorced. He cannot go and pick up his children because I've borrowed him my motorbike. So he must sit at his ex's house and visit there with his kids because he only got one of my motorbikes. So I said, man, listen, why don't we sell that motorbike and use it for a deposit on a car, and then I'll give you my Audi. Then you can drive with that. I'll give it to you. You can put it in your name. You can do with it whatever you want. Under the law, I could never do that because I would say he has sinned because he drank too much. He did this wrong. That's why he's now he's bearing the consequences of his sin. But under grace, I've been liberated. I've been liberated. I don't have to look at somebody's works to give. I look at what's in my heart. In my heart, I find love for this guy. I want to be good to him. I want to give. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. And that's how I live. That's how I give. So that is the grace, the influence of God in my belief. Grace is God influencing you to believe about others what He believes about them. And to believe about yourself what He believes about you. Now, if I look at my life, my ministry and everything, and I wonder how many hundreds of thousands of rand the ministry owes me. It owes me a lot of money. When people come back to you, this money is not for the ministry. This money is for you. I go preach in America, I come back, I get money from there. I come, this money is for you. I use all that money for the ministry. Everything, take nothing for myself. Nothing. No wonder I bought myself a braai, a gas braai. Got it for a bargain. It's worth 8,000, so I got it for 3,000. Said, let me buy that for myself. I'm talking about percentage. Listen, I don't work with percentage. We work with the life of God in us. And I allow Christ, allow Him to be Himself in you. How does prophecy work? You get a feeling. Oh God, you know, I've got a word for this brother. What do you do then? You're scared because maybe the word's wrong. Then you think, oh God, you know, this word can help this brother. And you've died for him. He's valuable and you want to encourage him. So let me go out to him and give him the word. And then you go and you give him the word. And that's how God speaks to him. So how does God give? You sit here and you think of your friend or of a situation, the church, a project, and you feel, I want to give. That's it. Then you first may be scared. Because, okay, the amount that comes to my mind maybe is not in line with what I want, you know, with what nature says. But what do you do then? God works in you to will and to do. So, do you think the devil will give a desire inside you? I'm talking about people now living in grace. The devil will influence you to give freely without saying I'm reaping something or anything just to give? Never. It comes from God. That's Christ wanting to live in you, manifesting Himself in you. That's how He influences you. That's grace. It's the influence upon your belief. I believe I need to give this person $1,000. Now let's do it. I tell you, I've been liberated by this message. I could never give to a rich man. Hy het mos klaar geld, jong. But now I don't care. I don't look at what money he has. I look at the belief in my heart and live it. That's what it says. I want to tell you about the influence in the belief system of the poor churches in Macedonia. How they abounded to their liberty, even in their deep poverty, and gave, yes, gave above what they could. To the point that Paul said, we don't want any more from you. Because grace came upon them. And I want to tell you, I experienced that in my life, and I never want this to go. I want to live with that liberty where money has got no hold on me whatsoever. I'm not defined by what I drive. I'm not defined by where I stay. I'm not defined by what I get for free or how much who gives to me. I don't call myself successful because I received something. Paul says, I don't even judge myself. He says, I find no mistake in my life with myself, but not that that means anything. Go and read 2 Corinthians. Or 1 Corinthians, I think it's 1 Corinthians 4. Not that that means anything. The fact that I am blameless according to the law means nothing. Because God is my judge. Amen. I don't want to be judged by what I drive. I felt like that. I remember when I was in Bible school, and just after Bible school, when I look at the man dripping with the anointing driving his 7 Series BM. And say, God, one day I will also be anointed and drive a BM or a big Merc or a big Audi or something. But thank God that I've been liberated now. I'm not defined by what I drive. I don't care. Do you know how nice it is to go and visit people and to see the man for who he is and not for where they live? You know how many rich people are hurting? But you think everything's okay because the X5 is in the driveway. Everything's not okay. You can see the person for who he really is. Where a poor person would come up to me and say to me, Bertie, I want to give you 1,000 rand or 500 rand, and I know he cannot give it. Where I will say, my brother, I cannot take this because this will hurt you. You know? I can say the same to a very rich person if I know it will hurt him. I was like a co-pastor in a church, and this one guy was giving 25,000 rand a month to the church. And then he came and he said, I went to the pastor and said, we need to start to preach grace in this church concerning finances. We cannot continue with this law preaching of finances. I mean, that was the second week of the two churches coming together. I said, no, this law thing is not going to work. Let's sit with the verses. Let's sort the thing out. So this guy comes to the church. And he says to me, he wants to see me. He says, I say, yes. He says, no, he feels that he's carrying this whole church financially. Because the income of the church is like 25 or 30,000. He gives only 5,000 less than the complete income of the church. So is he carrying the church financially? No. He's not. He's just giving a big amount. So I said to him, listen, my brother, we release you. You can stop to give. So the pastor said to me, Bertie, are you mad? How are we going to live? I said, I've got a boat. We can go and catch fish. We can work. What's wrong with our hands? We can work. We can get money and work. But are we going to continue to abuse this brother? He feels abused. He feels abused. So what's going to happen? First, release him from what he feels is killing him. Okay? And then let... So the next month he pays money again, phoning. I said, brother, what are you doing? We told you not to put the money in the account. He says, no, he wants to give the money. Now that's better. You know, he wants to give the money. We cannot take money. I mean, I want to tell you how this message liberated me. The person that gave me a person gave me a house. Okay? And then I came to his house and he said to me, I want to sow this house. We looked at the house, we picked the house, everything. It's now the bank, going to the bank now. He's buying me this house. I think it was 1.3, 1.4 million for the house. He says, no, I'm sowing this house in your life. I said, I cannot receive it, I'm sorry. Cannot receive it. What do you want to reap? If you want to reap finances, I can just teach you what Christ has done for you. You don't have to give me a house. You can be free, man. Really free. You cannot sow this into my life. You cannot sow a house into my life. If you want financial prosperity, it doesn't have to cost you a house. I'll give you CDs for a donation of any amount or for free. That's it. I said, go and pray about it. Check the motive of your heart, whatever. So the next day he came to me, he said to me, Bertie, I used Christianese when I spoke to you. I really want to just give it because I love your ministry and this is a prompting in my heart. Amen. I said, then I can receive the house. But other than that, I cannot receive it. You cannot tithe to me. You cannot sow to me. Because grace sets people free. You can be free from fear of giving, I tell you. Don't look at how much another person has. Look at what Christ has given you and look at the generosity in your heart and live that generous life. Now, here was a church in Corinth. They did not give. Now, Paul comes to them and says, you know the grace of God, that you were made rich by the grace of God. Now, 2 Corinthians 9, verse 8, let's read this. Now, what do I have the wrong? 9, verse 8. Let's read from verse 8. And God is able to make all grace abound towards you, that you always, having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. So what does it say? God will make all grace abound to you, so that you may have all sufficiency, meaning that you will have money, so that you can be good in all good works. So what does he say? God will enrich you financially by his grace, giving to you by grace, and he will give you the grace to be a giver. Amen. That's what it says. So God will make grace abound over you. Now let's talk about abounding grace. Let's go to 2 Peter. How do we get grace to abound by God over our life? If you always said, I've always been stingy, I'm tired of it. I want to be the giver that God... I want to have everything that Jesus died for me manifesting in my life. How am I going to be a giver? 2 Peter 1. You need grace, my friend. How am I going to have grace? Verse 2. 2 Peter 1 verse 2. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you. How? Through the Greek word there, acknowledgement of God and Jesus our Lord. So we want giving to manifest. I'm talking about giving in the New Testament. How does giving manifest? By no other way but by grace. How will grace multiply in every area? In the area that I will have money and in the area that I will be a giver. By acknowledging God and Jesus. So if we acknowledge what God did in Christ in our life, we will find the influence of the Holy Spirit in our hearts abounding unto generosity. Acknowledging, saying, Father, I acknowledge that you have set me free from all fear of finance. You have set me free from the sowing and reaping my effort to get blessed. You've set me free from all those. I first seek your kingdom and your righteousness, and all these things are added unto me. What is your kingdom? The Bible says the kingdom of God is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. I seek how righteous I am, how qualified I am, how good I am by Jesus, that you can prosper me. And the qualification of Christ is my qualification. As sure as what Jesus will have tomorrow, that's how sure I will have. Amen. What's the chance that Jesus will not have tomorrow? Zero. Some people, you know, the economy is bad. Maybe Jesus will suffer. No. Jesus will not suffer, doesn't matter what the economy says. Amen? As surely as what Jesus will have provision, that's how sure I will have. I am acknowledging Christ. As I acknowledge Christ, I find that my heart allows the receiving of God in this physical things in this world. And I find that as I acknowledge Christ, I acknowledge that all people has got the same value. I acknowledge that this gospel is what sets people free. And I find a generosity to give towards the spreading of this gospel. Paul calls it the fruit of the word. The fruit of the word was them people giving money to Paul, supporting the spreading of grace. Now I want to say this. You cannot, how do you happily give supporting the law? That's impossible, man. That's impossible. But Bertie, how much must I give and how should I give? Let's go to... So listen, just to recap. Grace enables you. We want to be givers born from the message of grace. How do we get grace to multiply in our life? We acknowledge what Christ has done in us in accordance to giving. It says in 2 Corinthians 8, you know the grace of God, that He was rich and He became poor, so that we can be made rich. Okay, so it says, look at the grace of God. Look what grace does. So no, we want this grace of God to abound in you. What is that grace? That He was rich and became poor, that others might become rich. He wants that grace to be in our life. What's that grace? That we can take and we that are rich can have less and give to others who's got none. I want that grace to abound in you because that grace abounded in the life of the churches in Macedonia. And that is the true, true context of 2 Corinthians there, my friend. You can either acknowledge you're a giver or live in the lie for the rest of your life. You are free. You are free. You are free to never hear your pastor ever trying to ask you for money. You are a free person. I always felt I couldn't speak about money and the giving part of money because I was so ashamed to be associated with the message that brings death. Because I didn't want to sound like or be associated with the tithing, sowing and reaping, manipulating preachers. Didn't want to be part of that because it brought so much hurt. Then I felt the Lord said to me, how will my people know the truth unless you preach it to them? Don't be ashamed. You haven't wronged anybody. Preach the truth. And this is the truth. The fruit of the Spirit. I tell you now, there's generosity there. There's giving. There's love. The Bible says, how will the love of God dwell in you if you see your brother's got need and you don't give to him, but you have? It doesn't say you're not loved of God. It doesn't say God doesn't that you're not in grace. It doesn't say that God will judge you. It asks a question. John asks a question. How will love manifest in you unless you allow the love that's in your heart to physically manifest? There's no other way. How will love manifest towards you unless I get on the plane and come and preach here? How will love manifest if a person here loves you and they want you to hear the grace and he says, I'll pay for your ticket? I mean, that's how love manifests, man. We're not believing a theory. We're believing something that's true, that brings forth a change of life in us. Now, Bertie, what if I don't give? Should I be condemned? No, no, no. Get more grace. More grace for you, brother. No condemnation. More grace. But Bertie, is the pastor going to treat me different? He's not supposed to. He's not supposed to. He says, James says, why do you honor the rich and neglect the poor? Are you not in the flesh or under the law? No. We don't distinguish between a rich and the poor. We don't judge people according to their giving or not. If I see a person very stingy, just holding on to his money, I don't think, you stingy bastard. You should support the gospel, man. You know, that new car of yours could have been souls. No. What I say is, this brother needs the grace message. He needs to be loved of God. He needs that place where he's comfortable with the person of God. He needs that place where he's set free from having his identity and stuff. If I see a poor person that is so holding on to his money, what do I think in my mind? I think this brother needs grace. He needs that loving care that he can know that God can always meet his need. He also needs to be liberated unto the person of God. I mean, I want to see Jesus manifest in my life. In every area of my life. Healing, miracles, giving, everything by grace. How do we heal? By grace. How do we prophesy? By His grace. How do we give? It's a fruit of grace and His empowerment in our life. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. I want to be honest, you know. It's if I preach in a law church, this is practical, honest. If I preach in a law church, I get much more money than preaching in a grace church. And it's hard for me to say this because I don't want to bring a bad name over grace. We love grace. I'll edit this out of the. But this, it is like that. Not that I go to see what I can get. I'm just talking about the natural fruit because I never asked anybody money to go and preach anywhere. Because Paul says, this is the thing. The laborer is worthy of his wages, but his vision is to make the gospel of no charge. He doesn't charge to preach. But he's thankful for the guy that does give. Okay, because it must come from generosity. So you cannot come and say, listen, you must give now because I've got this to pay, I've got that to pay. Listen, that bill is your bill. It's not the church's bill. It's yours. Okay? And then you just preach the gospel. Generosity will arise in the hearts of people. But what I found is, unfortunately, and I think that's why many grace preachers still stick with the tithing message and the sowing and reaping message because they need money. The best thing is rather hold out, get a job for a while if the people's going to take a time to get the revelation, but let them have the true revelation. Amen. I cannot tell you what it did in my heart when I saw this month people paying it and says, giving with no obligation. Giving from the foundation of generosity. Yeah, I just wanted to cry. It says, God, we are seeing the fruit of the word. Amen. Hallelujah. I went to the church. I said to them, I would never like say, we're taking up an offering for this or that. I would give them an opportunity because inside every man is grace. Okay? And he needs an opportunity or a place to which he can give. And I said, there's a church that burned down in Zambia that we planted. A madman came and burnt it down. And we need 4,000 rand for that church. We got 8. Just like this. The one guy came, he says, the people built half the church, saving for 2 years to get 4,000 rand. And he says, I've got 4,000 just in my bank. He says, no. Just paid it over. He says, these people need a building. They walk for how far to get the message? So they need, and that's what he felt, and he did it. Somebody else came to me and said, I hear you want to do something in Zambia. I'm giving and I'll build a 2-bedroom house for you in Zambia on a mission base there. That was last week. So don't think grace cannot work. Grace will work in you to do things you could never imagine. To things you always desired. You want to be free. Amen. Amen. And if you struggle with it, if you don't see the fruit, don't be condemned. Go and let God love you. Because it's only by His love where you will see value, where you will see the new person coming forth. Yeah. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Right. I want to talk. Let's end this off. Okay, we can also go to that verse in 1 Corinthians 9 where it talks about Paul. And I want to just say this. Paul says, the laborer is worthy of his wages. And they've got a right to receive from the church. Now that was abused so many times because the right is not, listen, I've got a right to receive from the church, I'm taking up my right. That's not what it means. What it means was, it is not wrong if he preaches and somebody out of generosity gives to him and he receives it. Because they said it is wrong for Paul to receive that money. Only, and go and study it, you'll read between the lines, they said only the 12 apostles of Jesus was allowed to get money. But Paul was not allowed. That's why Paul said, is it only me? And is it Barnabas? That is not allowed to refrain from working. like the other apostles of the Lord. Because that church in Corinth gave to the other apostles, but Paul, who started the church there, who helped them, who gave his life, they didn't give him anything. But when the other apostles came, made a demand on money, they gave. But they couldn't, out of generosity, give to Paul. So he said, I want to just teach you, and it's too late for you now, you cannot give to me anymore. Because I don't want you to give because I taught you this thing now. Because it will look as if I'm just after money. So I don't want your money. I'm coming a third time to you and I've already saved up. So don't worry. Because it's not right for the children to provide for the fathers, but the fathers must provide for the children. 2 Corinthians 12. I haven't heard that being preached many times as well. But that's what it says. So Paul's heart is not, this church must provide for me. But if he preaches at a place, if a preacher preaches at a place, and somebody feels in his heart to give out of generosity, it's not wrong for him to receive it. And if that amount is enough that he can live off it, it's not wrong to live off it. Thinking he's lazy, because full-time ministry was not known to those people. That's why Paul said it. Because here Paul was, some preachers don't work. And they say to Paul, but you must work if you want money. He says, yes, I must work if I've got money. But there are other apostles that you provide for that they don't have to work. So I imagine you work day and night and then preach as well. You are tired, man. You're tired. It's difficult. And then if people give to him, then they say, he's just here to eat our food. So that was the thing that Paul was addressing in 1 Corinthians 9. So if your pastor does, it's not wrong for him to receive giving from generosity from you. But it's wrong to receive money that he has manipulated from you. God even said the gift is not acceptable if it's not willing. So if God says it's not acceptable with him, how can it be acceptable with us? And it's not acceptable for you to give under that fear. It's acceptable to give with joy. Amen. So, get so much grace in your life that you start to feel happy. Yeah. Hallelujah. Amen. We are givers. Okay, let's end off with Psalm 37. It says, verse 4, delight yourself in the Lord, and he shall give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way unto the Lord. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. So here it says, delight yourself also in the Lord. Delight means, it's the word, go and study it out. It means, allow yourself to be pampered by God. Okay? Allow your heart to be pampered by God. When your heart's pampered by God, then he will give you desires in your heart. Doesn't mean you come with a desire, and then you delight in God until the delight meter hits green in heaven, and then he will give you the car you always wanted. That's not what it means. What that verse means is, you come to God, and you delight in him pampering you. As he pampers you with what? You are righteous, free from your works. You will always be provided for. You're the apple of my eye. You are cared for. You are in the image of Jesus. As Jesus is, so are you. I can never find any fault with you. You will always be blessed. I declare you as my righteousness. That's the pampering of God. As you hear God saying that about all people and yourself, then you will find desires coming forth in your heart. Then that desire you make known to God, and he will bring it forth. Okay, so practical. How does it work with giving? I was just being pampered by the love of God. Then I felt in my heart, I want to start a mission station in Zambia. So I knew I didn't have any money to do it. So I made my desire known to God. I made it known to God. I said, God, I want to start a mission station in Zambia. And all my stuff that I've always done, I didn't share it with people that people will give to it. I just felt that's my vision. So God will provide supernatural some way to do it. And that's how I've done everything. I made this known to God. And 2-3 weeks later, I felt the Lord laid upon my heart. I got another desire. That desire was that people will be involved in this, because I cannot run that station on myself. We need different churches to be involved with different programs. So make it known to some churches. And I did. We got a house, we got money, we got everything. He brought it forth. But it was a desire that came in my heart, and then God will make it, will do it. If your desire, as you are pampered by the love of God, you might feel in your heart, I want to sponsor some project in the church. Listen, make it known to God if it's something that you cannot do. It's not possible. Make it known to God. And then have a confident expectation to start to do it. And have the mentality that you have concerning normal worldly things as well. I mean, if we wanted to do paving at our home. Okay? Now I was thinking, okay, I want to do the paving and make it known to God. So I can wait until I've got 40,000 rand and get a builder. But then I had 10,000. And then I could do it myself. So I did it. And it's finished now. So look at what is in your hand. Look at what desires in your heart. And live with what you can. Don't disqualify yourself because you can give 100 rand joyfully. Saying, well, I will give one day when I can give 1,000. No, no. You, God has taken away the amount of money defining you. What you can do with joy, do with joy. What you can do from the persuasion of God, do it. Amen. Don't be afraid. Do the thing. Amen. It's God living in you. It's Jesus. It's like a woman, you know, that gives birth. She can feel, man, listen, the time of birth has come. And inside you, you feel, man, the time has come for Christ in the area of giving to take its place in my life. My broer, ek wil jou sê, hy vrou kan knyp so lank sy wil, hy kind word gebore, my man. That's it. So you can try and resist this giving. You can give up, brother. It's going to break forth. Amen. Rather now than later. Amen. Amen. It will break forth. If you stay in grace, you'll find you cannot stop yourself. Yeah. This guy came to me, says, Bertie, my wife said to me, the God gave the house, the second house. The one guy said to me, do people still do that? I said, this is the second one. So, He said to me, Bhakti, for this, since I heard of this Zambia thing, and he's not even part of my church or anything. He says, since I heard of the Zambia thing, I couldn't sleep for a week because I'm so excited about giving this house. I'm so, so excited. I want to just give this. That my wife says, why don't you take a month off and just go and build the house so that we can have peace here? And that is joyful giving. And that's what pastors want in their people. We don't want... And listen, I any pastor can vow to this. If you preach tithing and sowing and reaping, and that money goes into the basket there, you say, oh God, you better provide for these people, because if you don't, what am I going to tell them? Because you promised them that they're going to have. And now what if they don't have after 6 years of giving? What new excuse must you come up with? What new promise of breakthrough? What type of a super anointing must now come from where? No, you don't need any breakthrough. God broke through the heavens 2,000 years ago, and you are the blessed of God. Yeah. Amen. Hallelujah. I forgot to announce this. We've got CDs and DVDs there, just CDs in the back, plus ordering forms. If you want to order some, it's available for whatever you want to give. If you don't want to give, just take it. Amen. God bless you guys. If there's anybody that needs prayer concerning your finances, I will be here. I'll pray for you. Amen. God bless.